Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness, from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for January 30th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I am doing so well. I'm so excited to be here. I'm loving Celebrity Big Brother, but everyone else is getting these easy days, and I signed on for the craziest day yet. So I feel a little attacked, but it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, everyone should know. I mean, Kirsten, she picked this day last week. She was ready to go. She knew she has the power of foresight. If you ever want to know what days will be crazy on the feeds, just ask Kirsten.
Yeah, so it turns out it's only days where my work schedule is adjusted such that I'm around at 9 a.m. That it's going to be crazy. So you probably won't get any more crazy days this season. Sorry.
Oof, that's rough.
It's the only one.
So we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Celebrity 2 live feeds. And we have a lot to be thankful for, mostly Tom Green, because he has saved us from the monotony of a bad week, and his terrible gameplay is going to revitalize this season in ways that I think we could never have imagined.
I'm so upset. I made the decision preseason that I am standing Tom Green no matter what happens, because he is Canadian. He's making it so hard for me. But Tamar versus Tom is exactly what we need.
Yes, it truly is.
Like, truly.
I can't wait to get to the part where they get into a thing and then tell completely opposite stories about it 2 seconds later. All right, we're going to start the day here. So we start the day pretty immediately seeing that Tom is maybe thinking a little bit differently than we might have thought. He's floating this idea to Kato that, hey, there's a chance that Ricky is playing us here. There's a chance. You know, I feel like there's a, you know, Ricky, I'm not sure. I can't get a good read on him. Basically telling Kato, you know, it's, I don't know. I feel like maybe we should take a shot at Ricky. Maybe. I don't know. Well, I think we could be in trouble at Final Five if we stay true to this. Kato's like, I'm a buzzkill. I don't do these things.
Kato's like, mathematically, our five-person alliance can't fail. We can't lose if we just stick to the five. It's just groundbreaking. Imagine an alliance of five just making it to the five.
It's
what could
so
go wrong?
Perfect, because there's two of us and two of them and only one of Ricky. We win.
Yeah. And so Tom is going into like, well, you know, what if Ricky goes with them? Or maybe he's already with them. And they're going to turn on us at the five. And Kato's like, oh, they'd have to be really good liars to pull that off.
Tom's like, they don't have to be liars. They just have to be playing the game. Oh, whatever. Yeah. He lets it go for now. He decides, all right, well, let's keep Tamar off the block for now, I'm thinking. She's probably the weakest competitor. She didn't even play in the HOH competition, so that's in her favor.
And see, it was a strategic move for her. Everyone's so mad that Tamar didn't play in the HOH. I don't care. You know what? We tell people to throw competitions, whatever. At least this is an entertaining way to do it. We are going to get a hilarious scene of Tamar like, I'm not going in there. I am not doing that. And it's going to be amazing. So I don't know why we have to be so upset about it. Was she ever winning HOH anyways? No. And now she'll stay.
I was upset about it when this was a do or die competition for her. But now that Tom has blown things up, I'm fine. It's okay. It worked out. We're all good. Don't worry about it.
She made it blow up by not playing and being less of a threat. Okay. She's a strategic mastermind.
It's all Tamar.
Come on, okay? She has been watching since Chicken George and Dr. Well, and she knows what she's doing.
Tom and Cato can't decide yet between Joey and Candy who they want to send home, but they're leaning toward Candy at the moment. So Tom, his plan was to have coffee time with Tom. I was all excited for it. I even went on Twitch. I was like, coffee time with Tom on Twitch. Let's go. And then he was talking with Lolo, and that's basically the only person he ended up talking to. But he has this conversation with Lolo. He says he doesn't want to backdoor Joey. He wants to at least give Joey the chance to win the veto. He's a stand-up guy. He wants to give him that opportunity. And Lolo's like, I don't know, though. Like, it just feels weird to me that, like, we would give, I mean, it's, I guess it's nice of you to give Joey that courtesy when he didn't give me the courtesy of accepting my alliance proposal that I never actually made. Cause I don't know. I just personally think that's really good of you. I guess. Okay, fine.
Yeah. I like Tom being like, well, you know, Candy could be as big of or bigger threat than Joey, like for these memory challenges, et cetera, moving on. And like neither Joey nor Candy have won anything. So I don't really know where this threat narrative is coming from. But Lola's like, no, Candy and Tamar have the days all wrong. I heard them studying. Like, they don't know.
Meanwhile, Joey still can't figure out how he got on the block.
Yeah. She's like, oh, these are the big threats of Celebrity Big Brother. Okay.
Yeah. So they get into more of a conversation. There's a lot of talking in circles today. So there is going to be a lot that I'm going to be sort of skipping over. Like we're skimming through the pages of what happened yesterday.
Skimming through my 2000 word notes when I stopped taking notes at a point because it was just repetitive.
Oh my God. There was one point that was so annoying to me. Tom was trying to explain about I don't even remember what he was trying to explain. He was like, trying to say something, and Lolo just kept interrupting with, oh yeah, that's exactly what we deal with Tamar. Oh yeah, no, but that's what we do. No, but that's what we have to deal. But that's what we deal with Tamar. It was like, oh my God, just let him talk, please. Well,
and that's in this conversation too. This is where Lolo brings up, well, you know, Tamar is a social threat because she's really good at disrupting things and like ruining the calm, which I don't really think that's what a social threat means, but okay, Lolo. And Tom's like, no, Tamar should be the last person to go from the other side. Lolo's like, no, try living in the same room as her. And Tom's like, just move rooms. And then they go back and forth on this so many times. And Lolo's like, no, listen to me. I listen to what you say, but she doesn't listen to what he says. So annoying.
I feel like this day on the feeds really show, like, these are celebrity, like, they talked over each other constantly. There's so much talking over each other. I've never seen it this bad. They just, like, two people are talking and they just both continue to talk, and it's just like, you're both talking at the same time, stop talking.
Yeah, nobody is listening, everybody is talking, and that's why we have to hear the same conversations approximately 7,000 times.
And people are like super offended that you don't take their word for the fact that they don't have a power, which we'll get to very, very soon. We end up going, Joey does have a conversation with Cato in the gym. It's actually a pretty good conversation. Joey's kind of the last remnant of the sort of like the Ryan Lochte, I'm just a dude in a house and I'm genuine and I just want to be here and hang out. And it comes across pretty well. And I think Cato really felt good about this conversation, which is going to make an impact moving forward on the day.
Yeah, Cato is so, like, even if this wasn't genuine, Cato is so easy to convince. You just have to seem a little bit genuine and he's probably gonna fall for everything you say. Like, even looking back a few days ago, he was like, no, Ricky's with us. And then today he's like, well, you know, if you've got to go with your gut, Tom, like, trust your gut, I'll go with your gut if it says Ricky's against us. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the feeds go down and Big Brother is going to, in fact, announce that there is a power that will be given to somebody that will allow them to get out of a sticky situation. And you'd think, that's just Big Brother. They're telling them about a power, giving a tiny little hint about what it might be. But of course, with Tom and Cato, they're going to read into the wording of this a lot. Okay, who's in a sticky situation? Does Ricky, like sticky things? Is any, like, what would qualify as a sticky situation? The audience obviously will want to give it to the person who is in the stickiest of situations. So who is the stickiest?
Don't say stickiest ever again, please. I just, like, they just are going in circles over and over. And Kato's like, I can read people. I know Candy has the power. It's like, oh, really, Kato? You can read people? News to me?
Yeah. Kato says, 100%. Candy has it. I know it. I'll bet you $100,000. Candy has the power. And it's moments like these where I'm like, man, I wish I was playing Celebrity Big Brother, because I'd be like, I'll take that bet. I've won. I've won the money.
You're on your way to being enough of a public figure to get on the celebrity version. And then we really only have to cover your morning updates for a short period. So it's really your only option to leave.
And here's the thing. I won't be playing to win. I'll just be playing to entice them into making bets about the game that they're definitely wrong about. And then I'll just clean up.
Yeah, you'll actually win more than the prize money.
Yeah.
And then you can quit after like 6 days and you'll be richer than if you won. Come back to the live feed updates. It's perfect. Everybody wins.
There you go. Tom correctly guesses that this power is something that you can use to save yourself. So,
yes. And I love that he's like, the power is always the same. Take yourself off the block.
Yep.
Like, okay, perfect. So people have figured this out. Good.
All he had to do is watch two seasons and he's good. He knows all of the twists, which, yeah, he does.
Right? Like, pretty much. I feel like there's not that much that they could throw at them at this point in the season, other than, like, you know, start of season twists that he wouldn't be able to at least kind of identify. And I like he has the correct read. He's like, okay, we're worried that Joey or Candy have the power, so we should nominate them so that we don't have to worry about the power moving forward.
Yes, Tom thinks that it might be Joey. Kato is pretty sure it's not Joey. Like I said, he's feeling pretty good about Joey at this point. And so he's like, I don't think it's Joey, but why don't we just put up Candy and Joey? If they're both on the block, then one of them will have to use the power. The power will get flushed, blah, blah, blah. It'll all be good. So that's the current plan.
Yes, at this point. And I really like, too, Tom is like, we just have to get all of our allies in a room, give them an opportunity to admit to it. And if they all say they don't have it, then we know for sure that Dina, Joey, Candy, or Tamar have it. Like, it's foolproof. And all I could think is, someone in an alliance sitting in a room and lying? Maybe he doesn't remember JC.
Natalie and Lolo have a conversation about Tom and Kato, where they basically go, like, you know, thinking about our final four, are we really going to go to the final four with them? I mean, they're strong players. I feel like maybe that's not the best idea. Maybe something to think about for the future. You know, they've been winning a lot of competitions. I don't know if we really actually want to go to the end with them.
Yeah. Like, you know what? We should probably start studying these memory competitions for these memory competitions coming down the stretch.
Yes.
Like, well, you should be doing that anyways, but yeah. Okay.
So we get some more of Tom and Kato. Kato saw Joey talking with Lolo, and Joey was like, hey, I'm just a guy in a house doing some things. I'm here because of my girls. You know, they wanted to see me on TV, so that's why I'm here. You know, it's one person's journey to win this game, and it's everyone else's journey to just be here to support that person and, you know, have their own journey and all of that stuff. So Kato saw that conversation, and he was very sketched out. He was like, what? Why is Lolo talking to Joey? What do they think he has the power? Are they trying to get in with Joey? Are they trying to make side deals? What's going on? All of a sudden, I'm super paranoid. What's happening?
Well, and I just like how Tom's response is like, well, do you find it unnerving that Lolo would have that conversation without consulting the Alliance? Like, just really, like, he's starting to get very worried about Lolo and Natalie pulling in Ricky and turning on them. So it's like any opportunity he can use to push forward this paranoia with Kato is perfect, because Kato's completely intractable. So it has to be his idea.
Yes.
So that was very good from Tom, which there's not a lot of good from Tom today, but that was very good.
That's exactly what Tom jumps on this opportunity to cast more suspicions upon Ricky. He's like, oh,
you do not have the word upon in your notes.
I do, actually. he says, hey, isn't it suspicious with Ricky where every time we question him to Nolo, Ricky comes to us and he's like all excited again. And he's like, hey, I really want to work with you guys. And I'm like, thank God, I was not wrong to disbelieve this notion that Lolo's terrible idea and Ricky's like this idea that like, okay, so we, Tom and Cato just questioned you, Ricky. So what we want you to do is to go and address the exact point that they just questioned you about. And I was like, how could this have possibly worked? And it didn't. Thank you. It didn't. Tom was very suspicious about it.
Well, and I said something about that on the recap on Sunday about how, like, if all of his alliance members are saying this and Ricky comes to him, he kind of has to just go with it. And I was very relieved that that was the truth because I just can't handle that that could, you know, have been true. And so Tom says he saw a look on Natalie's face the first time he brought up Ricky that made him think that she was really worried about Ricky leaving, that it was a look of, we can't let them get Ricky because he is our end game. And I mean, it's not wrong. So.
Yeah. Hey,
Tom.
So Tom is saying, like, basically, look, this is interesting again, because watching Tom is still like watching people figure out the game in the first season. They're just sort of starting to grasp things, and he's starting to grasp the idea, you know, whether or not he even trusts Ricky. He's starting to sort of see that in a final five alliance that consists of two pairs and one singular player, that if they go down to the final five, it only makes sense. The only move is for Nolo to team up with Ricky to take them out. And eventually he's going to realize we could do the same thing, meaning Ricky is in a really great spot right now, meaning we should probably do something about that, because at final five, we're the ones in trouble. Ricky's sitting pretty.
Yes. And that's so, like, ugh, I'm just so happy that he's like figuring it out and seeing some actual strategy. And like, yes, there's a lot of problems with things Tom is saying today and things Tom will say today, but at least he's kind of figuring out the game, because if this wasn't happening, yesterday would have been so boring and we probably would have already been done updating everyone on it.
Yeah. And that's sort of the irony of this whole situation, is that Tom is basically right about what he's talking about, in the sense that, a lot of people don't figure this out. Like, a lot of people just let the single person just hang on, and then they're in the best spot at the end, and, you know, they, you know, just destroy and everything's fine. But Tom sort of recognizes the position that they're in. He recognizes that the women probably have some kind of deal with Ricky, which they do. And so he's trying to do something about that. The problem with what Tom is doing is that, despite the fact that he's correct about things, his method for solving it is terrible.
Yeah, well, and he also goes back and forth between being like, okay, Natalie and Lolo probably have an agreement with Ricky and they're going to turn on us, to like, well, maybe they don't have an agreement with Ricky yet, but they could in the future. And so maybe we can pull Ricky in, which I think it's a little late for that. But I do like what he says here, where he's like, is Ricky someone worth losing Big Brother for? And it's like, no, nobody's worth losing Big Brother for.
Yes. So he talks about, like, you know, Natalie and Lolo, they're always protecting Ricky. You know, I really feel like Ricky is a threat here. We should take a shot at Ricky. And this time, finally, Cato is on board. They talk about the potential to backdoor Ricky this week,
which is everything. I hope this happens. I just want it so badly. I just, like, Cato, like, has finally gotten just enough from Tom that he can act like this is his own idea. And he's like, yeah, today it really felt like Ricky was spying on us. Like, this is the first day it's really felt like that. Because, of course, if he admits that it felt like that earlier, then he's admitting he was wrong prior to this. And Cato will never do that. So he had to do that.
And it's just like, finally, Cato is getting out of the way and he's letting Tom mess up their games how I've always wanted him to, because of the way that the game was structured from that first twist. Thank God Tom is here to blow up this majority alliance and we're gonna have some fun. So that's currently the plan. They want to backdoor Ricky. They feel pretty confident about Joey at this point, Cato feels confident about Joey, which makes Tom like, okay, so maybe what we do is nominate Tamar and Candy, and then if we backdoor Ricky, then all we need is Joey, you, Kato, and Dina, and then he's evicted. We don't even need Natalie and Lolo to be on board with this. We can steamroll it right out. Get him out of the house. So that's what they're thinking. However, Ricky joins them in the middle of this conversation, and so they propose this idea of maybe Candy and Tamar. Ricky says, no, Joey and Candy, that was the move. That was the correct move. Ricky, by the way, has been doing a pretty good job up until this point of being like, hey guys, I'm just here to help out. Whatever you guys want, I'm on board. Let's talk this through. And so I think that, you know, that stuff was working well enough that he does kind of get them back on track of Joey and Candy instead of Tamar and Candy.
Yeah, Ricky is saying, you know, Joey, I think Joey has the power. Viewers would know that he is the target. So they would want to, you know, put a wrench in that. They would want to change that plan and keep him safe, which is not a bad thought. Like, Joey was one of the front runners on Twitter. So that's a good call. Another thing Ricky did earlier in the day I really liked is he was like, Tom, like, you need to talk to Lolo. Lolo's feeling really left out and you should really ask for her input on this. And Tom's like, what, did she tell you that? And Ricky's like, no, just a feeling. And like, feel like, you know, feeding into that idea that Ricky's, you know, he just wants to help, you know, mend things and keep Tom and Lolo and everyone working together. And he's just peaceful, happy Zen guy. Ricky, you're a true Gemini. We know.
You're really, really stuck on this point.
It's true. He is. That's why he goes totally nuts sometimes.
So the feeds go down for nominations, and Tom does, in fact, go with Joey and Candy for the nominations. But by the time the feeds come back, both Tom and Kato are fully convinced Joey does not have the power. They feel like they completely believe him. Kato was already feeling good about him. Something happened during the feed outage, during the nominations, that made Tom feel really good about him. So now they feel like, okay, Joey doesn't have the power. That's good to know. We're taking Joey off the block. Somebody else is going to go on the block. It might be Ricky, might be somebody else, but that's we feel good about Joey now.
Yes. And so, again, more discussion of who has the power. They are obsessed with finding out who has it, which, I mean, what else are you going to obsess about right now? Makes sense. And Kato brings up, well, maybe Tamar has the power because the viewers might like her fighting with everybody, which, dang, you're right, Kato. You got it.
And Tamar is pissed about the nominations.
She's
because
so mad.
The speech that Tom made was about the power. Like, hey, I'm trying to flush out the power here. And she was like, what a terrible reason to put, I can't believe, what a bully to bully people into using the power. That's just a bully right there. I can't believe it. One week it's about wanting to be home with your kids. And now this week it's about a power. Oh, what a bully.
She's like, last week, you need to go home to your child. This week, bitch, you better use your power. It's too much.
Like, they're totally the same thing.
Like, and I really don't like this narrative of Tamar acting like people are being bullies in Big Brother, because none of this is bullying.
Yeah.
There's no, like, this is the one thing Tamar has done that really pisses me off, because none of this is bullying. Cut it out. Do not act like you are a victim, Tamar. Like, you weren't even nominated. Why are you so upset? But she's like, if you keep offending people, it won't work out. Like, why are you offended?
Yes. Tom and Kato are going to talk even more. There's a lot of talking in circles about who might have the power, what they should do about it. Tom wants to try and figure out if Tamar has the power. He wants to figure, like, all right, let me try and suss this out. Let me try and I can be smooth here and see what's going on. See if I can talk to her, see if she has the power. We'll see what's going on.
When was it Kato or Ricky who was like, you're going to get into it with Tamar? And Tom was like, I can get yelled at today. It's fine.
Yeah, well, because Ricky joins them and he's saying this to Ricky, and Ricky's like, no. Don't talk to Tamar. What are you talking about? That's a terrible idea. She will immediately understand, like, the thing about Tamar, she's very smart. She will immediately suss out why you're talking to her, and it will escalate immediately, very quickly. And Tom is like, that's fine. I know how to, look, this is my thing. This is what I do. I can deal with that. That's fine.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I feel like Tamar's best moments in this day are obviously the conversation she's going to have with Tom. And when she's freaking out about the bullying, I just like how she's talking to Joey and she's like totally losing it. I'm done. I'm done with this. Joey's like, yeah, I appreciate that. Like, the dichotomy is too much. Like, I hate Joey and I wish he had gone home first instead of Jonathan, but he provides a nice foil. And so I guess we can appreciate him.
Well, Tom is going to talk to Tamar. And so he goes into the bedroom and he's like, hey, Tamar. And she basically immediately, like the second he walks in, she's like, I know what you're doing. You little, I know what you're doing. And so he's like, hey, so like, you know, I was trying to figure out who's got the power. And I was thinking, I mean, obviously, I think Candy has it. Like, what do you think? Do you think that could you ask Candy if she has it? Maybe help me out a little bit. It would be great to have some information so I know what to do. And are you threatening me? Are you threatening me? How dare you? You do not want to be that guy to America, Tom. You do not want to be that guy.
And Tom's like, no, like, I don't want you to go off on me like you've gone off on everybody else.
Well, no, that was her. I'm pretty sure that was her.
Well, she doesn't say, he doesn't say it exactly like that, but he's basically saying like, no, like, I don't want to fight with you. And she's like, what? You do not want to be that guy. I cannot believe you're doing this. You're saying that if I don't ask Candy, you're going to put me on the block.
And Tom's like, no. I'm trying to like, look, I don't think you have it. I think Candy has it. I'm just trying. I'm trying to get you to help me because I feel like if you don't help me, then I might make a mistake of who to. You're still doing it. You're still doing it. I can't even.
And it's like, I don't know if I'm imagining this or if it really happened or if I had a fever dream or is Tamar's like that is not on me for you to not make a mistake.
Yeah. And he's like, I think Candy has it. And she's like, that's four times you've told me. It's like, whoa. And so he's like, no, listen, I promise you, I'm not threatening you. I respect you way too much. I would never try and get into anything with you. I respect your ability to. I've seen you go off. You do it so well. I would never try and get into anything with you like that. And she's we're getting into something? We're getting into something?
Taryn, I need you to take a step back. But Tom thought that he was ready to get yelled at by someone, but he was not ready for Tamar. I don't think anybody is ready to get yelled at by Tamar. If I were there, I would just be trying to be Tamar's best friend. Like, hey, you need anything? How's it going? You look really pretty. Can I borrow your onesie? Like, you cannot do this with her because she's gonna lose it.
Yes. So Tom ends up leaving. He goes and he talks to Natalie and Lolo and they're like, how did the conversation go? He's like, it was great. It was fun. It was so much fun. That was such great TV. I think we had some fun. He's later going to retell this to Kato and the way that he retells it is so funny. He's like, it was such a great time. I feel like we were just riding this wave of like, is it going to get too crazy? No, it's not going to get too crazy. Is it going to get too crazy? No, it's not going to get too crazy. And then at one point toward the end, she gave me a look, a warm look of understanding. Like, I know what we're doing here. Like we understand what's happening.
A warm look of understanding from Tamar in the Big Brother house. Okay, sounds fake, but okay. Okay.
Meanwhile, Tamar is immediately, this is immediately telling at the same time that Tom is explaining it to Natalie and Lolo, telling Joey, he got in my face. He threatened me. He's bullying me. He's telling me he's going to put me on the block. I cannot believe him. I cannot even with him.
And Candy's like, what? Like, he told you he's going to put you on the block? Like, what's going on? And Tamar's like, he told me I had to ask you if you have the power. If I don't ask you for him, he's going to put me on the block. He attacked me. Whoa.
And she's, and the best part is, like, it's almost a complete, like, fabrication. Like, it's interpreted in such a crazy way. And she is the one that's like, listen, the camera's going to tell the whole story. The camera knows all. Everyone forgets the cameras are here, but everyone knows. Go back and rewind. Watch what happened, because it's exactly like I said it.
Yeah. She's like, the cameras will see Lolo coming for me. The cameras will see, was it Ricky or Joey? I can't remember. Ricky. Yeah, no, I don't remember. Whatever. He's like, the cameras will see. And then the cameras will see this. And then she, like, gets into, like, a low squat and, like, goes sideways like this. She's like, who are you talking to? What are you doing? And it's my favorite. I need someone to send me that clip in both video and GIF form as soon as possible, because I need it for everything.
If this is not on the show, I don't know what they're doing with their lives.
Oh, it has to be on the show.
It needs to be the full argument, and then split screen of Tom retelling and Tamar retelling.
Yeah, it's like an angry version of Summer Loving.
because they both retold in extreme and not correct way, where Tom was like, it was wonderful. She gave me a warm look of understanding. Tamar's like, he got in my face. He threatened me.
I love how when we podcast, you give me such a warm look of understanding, Aaron.
Oh, man. All right. So, so that happened.
Oh, God.
And that's not all, folks. Tom is then going to have a conversation with Cato, Lolo, and Natalie, where everything's great. They're like, hey, we're confirming Final Four, us together, united, Final Four. Tom is like, is it a Final Four, though, or is it a Final Five? Because, I mean, we got Ricky here. And Lolo immediately is not having again. Tom, very good at immediately getting people to not have what he's saying.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is about him where he just knows exactly the wrong thing to say that makes people feel uneasy. I'm trying to think. It was, I think, earlier in the day where he talks to Cato and he's like, we can have a Final Five with Joey instead. And Cato's like, but then you're not honoring the Final Five. And Tom's like, my Final Five isn't confirmed. It is. Tom, it is.
Yes. So Tom is questioning Ricky, and Lolo is just, I can't, you're getting paranoid. I am not okay with this. You're going crazy. And he's like, well, no. I just think the Ricky, I think that we should, you know, we should talk about Final Four, Final Five. And at one point, Tom was just like, I know what's going on here. Let me just leave.
Oh my God. It's just so much. I don't
It is. It's a lot. It's a lot. They eventually, you know, Natalie and Lolo, they're going to go and they're going to, like, complain at each other. Like, ah, oh, Tom's the worst. We hate him. He's so paranoid. And Tom is going to go to Cato and be like, what did I do?
What did I do? I'm just a nice Ontario boy. Okay.
And so they do come back together. They apologize to each other. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. So, you know, they then were like, you know, so what would you think if we thought about maybe backdooring Ricky? And they're like, whoa, no. We should not do that yet. That's not a good idea. So all of that happens. Yeah. Then we see Natalie and Lolo talking. And this is one of my favorite things. They're like, Tom is so paranoid. I can't believe that he would question us. We're just trying to be Lolo. He gets so paranoid about Ricky. What do you think, though? We are good with our three thing with Ricky, though, right? Yeah, totally. Yeah. We're still great with it. I can't believe how paranoid Tom is. He's so crazy.
he's so paranoid. Like, we have a Final Five. What is his problem? It's like, oh, but like, we totally have the three and the five, right? And we're gonna get them out. Cool. Like, we should be. We're really worried about Tom Rakes. He's a strong player, but oh, he's so paranoid.
And it's just like this is the stuff that's like, all you need to do is reframe how you're talking about this, and it won't piss people off. Instead of saying Tom is so crazy and paranoid, he's so crazy. Instead of saying that, be like, Tom, he's so smart. He's figured us out. He knows that we're in with Ricky. We need to do something about that. It's just a small shift in how you approach this, and it makes a vast difference in jury management. But, you know, what are you going to do?
These people don't get that, is the thing. Like, they just haven't figured out. They don't know the game. They don't know what they're doing. And I don't think it's clicked to them that, like, these people are voting for the winner at the end. I do think that Natalie does a much better job of this than Lolo does. Lolo's a lot more, like, popping off, mm-hmm. and Natalie's a little bit more subdued in the background. I think that she could be, like, the remnants of this five if they do turn on each other.
Yeah, Natalie keeps most of her trash talking to Lolo, which mm-hmm. is what Ross did with Marissa. But at the same time, like, so many other people are doing it worse that yeah. it's like everybody has bad jury management in this cast. Basically, yeah. I was thinking about it. There are two people I think that are totally clean. We've got Dina and Candy, who are like they could easily win. You got then Joey. I feel like. Is the third most clean. Then you have, Natalie and Kato, I feel like would be kind of okay. Then you have Tom yeah. and Ricky, who have kind of pissed some people off, but also would have some respect. And then you've got like Tamar and Lolo, who I feel like are just like, it's hard to see them winning.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. Someone, said to me yesterday when I was like just getting started on getting caught up on everything. And they were like, Natalie Eva Marie is an above average player surrounded by crazy people. And I don't know that I agree with that completely, but she is better than most of these people. But none of them are above average.
Yeah. Natalie is playing similar to, in my opinion, she's playing, like, she's not as good at the game as Ross was, but I feel like she's playing a similar style of game where, like, she's playing one of the better games in the house, but she's playing a regular Big Brother game and she's not super concerned. Like, people in the house like her. People in the house don't realize how much trash she's been talking behind their backs. If they go out of the house and see how much she's been talking, then they might be mad. However, it's different than last season, where last season most people were not talking trash and Ross was very obvious in how much trash he was talking. It's like Natalie is talking trash, but so are most of the people in the house at this point. So I feel like she's mostly okay here, especially since she plans on taking Lolo to the end. And that's like a slam dunk.
Yeah, she. We could very well be seeing her as the winner of the season. If it's not Dina. Sorry, I didn't want to bring that up. Could ruin the podcast, but we made it. It's fine.
And that's a very good point from Marietta, is they're also not really showing Natalie on the show. So most people are obviously not going to watch the feeds. And so they probably won't even see most of this stuff. Sure, the fans could say it. But again, Natalie's pretty popular with the fans. So I feel like most fans would not be like going out of their way to point out that she's been talking to us. So I feel like she's in a pretty decent spot, but you never know. This could come back to bite her later on if she does get more screen time. So she has to be wary of that.
Well, and honestly, I'm here for it. I just want this to be a dumpster fire. That's all I want from this season.
That is what this is, 100%.
Well, yesterday was, and I'm living for it. So it's fine.
And again, we have to thank Tom. It's rare that I am this grateful for bad gameplay. Like, usually I'm like, yes, about the good gameplay. I feel like the good gameplay is out the window at this point. There aren't enough good players. The house got structured mm-hmm. in a way from the very beginning that it's not going to play out well. So I'm just all about Tom just throwing wrenches into things.
Honestly, like, I think we need to be a little bit thankful. I hate to say it. I'm sorry. Please just give me a warm look of understanding.
Don't do the twist. I've got stuff about the twist. We're not there yet.
We need to be a little bit thankful. I'm sorry. We'll get there later. It's fine.
Because I saw some people saying that, and I do vehemently disagree, because I think that it very much could have ruined everything. And it still might.
It still might, but it gave us yesterday.
I feel like it did give us a day. Yes, 100%. I think that, you know, it gave us a day of fun. Tom, we're getting ahead of ourselves. All right.
I thought you were going to say tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
And I was like, yes, he is.
So Tom and Kato start talking. This is the point I wanted to talk about this. So Tom and Kato decide, okay, we should not backdoor Ricky. We should nominate Tamar, because Tamar probably has the power. So we need to flush the power. We're gonna sit on the backdoor Ricky plan. We're not going to go through with it because of the power, because we need to flush the power out. And hey, if Tamar doesn't have the power, then we know Ricky has the power. And then we can use that to convince the women to turn on him, and then everything will be fine. We don't need to throw any wrenches. We can just play it the safe way, and we need to play it the safe way because of the power, which is was the correct move. And so, like, yes, the twist gave us some fun in the sense that it was like, you know, hey, who has it? But really, if we're thinking about it, all of the drama came from Tom and Tamar. Without the twist, he probably would have nominated Tamar. They probably would have gotten into something anyway. And Tom questioning Lolo about Ricky, which he was going to do with or without the power. I think the power just kind of became a scapegoat for the house to be like, oh, it's crazy about the power. But Tom was never really crazy about the power. And he says that many times. What Tom is crazy about is Ricky. And that's what caused the real drama here. And the power, unfortunately, very nearly put an end to the betrayal of Ricky. However, we're not done with the day yet.
Well, I just disagree with one. I don't think Tom was ever putting up Tamar to start. Even before they knew about the power, he didn't want to put up Tamar.
Well, I mean, he
so we would not have gotten Tom versus Tamar without the twist. That's all I'm saying.
She was one of the three people that he was going to put up. And when they were talking about backdooring Ricky, they thought, let's put up Tamar and Candy to backdoor Ricky. So, I mean,
but I don't think that was ever really, like, I don't know. Ricky, like, got in their heads just enough that kind of got pushed aside.
I don't know. I feel like that was coming. There's been tension between Tom and Tamar for a long time.
Well, and I just hope that we get to continue having tension between Tom and Tamar for a long time to come.
Yes. But anyway, I was very prepared to be like, man, the twist, it screwed up the back door. It screwed up the betrayal. The power alliance is going to stay in power. That's what it was looking like for a little while here, because basically the reason they couldn't do Ricky is because if Ricky has the power, then they're screwed. Then they've betrayed the alliance. Ricky stays and they have to lose one of the people that essentially Joey or Candy. They're hopefully going to take Joey off. Then they lose Candy. Ricky's still here. And now the women are mad at them and Ricky had the power. So it's all bad. So they need to not do that. So they're very concerned about that. So they decided Tamar is the right move. We need to backdoor Tamar, try to flush out the power. That's the way to do it. Natalie, Lolo, and Ricky, meanwhile, are confirming they're three. They're together. Natalie and Lolo are letting Ricky know that, hey, Tom is starting to question some things. And, you know, he's getting paranoid about things. And it's not good. It's not good. And Ricky's like, he's just so obsessed. He's so paranoid. We just need to. I'm thinking that maybe we should nominate Tom sometime. We should take a shot at Tom sometime. If I need to do that, I'm going to do that. So again, Tom is right to question Ricky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ricky's like, I would put Tom up if I won HOH, but it would have to be a team decision. Just trying to be like, yeah, like we're the team. We're going to get rid of Tom because he's suspicious of us. And it's just like Ricky goes back and forth between being like, playing the game, just kind of being there, and then getting mad at people if they get upset about anything. It's a lot, and I would like Ricky to leave.
Well, Natalie and Lolo start to question Ricky. They're like, wait a minute, is Tom right? Is 'cause everybody has a problem with Ricky except for us. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Like, is something wrong here? Lolo asks Tamar, like, do you still not trust Ricky? And she's like, I've never trusted Ricky. They're like, oh man, this is confusing. They talk together about, like, you know, it would be good to sit next to Ricky in the final two. It would be also good to sit next to Tom in the final two. But wait a minute, it doesn't matter because we're taking each other, obviously.
Yeah. Well, and I just like how, like, yes, everybody has a problem with Ricky except for them, because they don't need to have a problem with Ricky. Ricky is loyal to them. Ricky wants to go to the end with them. So it's like, yeah, everyone has a problem with him except for us. So he wants to go to the end with us. He will protect us. And everyone has a problem with him, so he'll go home first. So they should not be doubting him.
Meanwhile, Tom and Cato are still. So basically, Tom took the opportunity of the twist to be like, hey, this is like a murder mystery night. Like this is
Clue.
And that's why, again, like he's sort of masking his suspicions of Ricky and wanting to like investigate all this stuff and everything in this idea of like searching for the power, when really this is just like a fun game for him. And he's trying to navigate, how do I make the move against Ricky now that this power is an obstacle in my way? And so they're having fun. They're being detectives. I made the tweet that if they are detectives, then I feel like they are the equivalent of Columbo, who famously is just kind of like this doddering, like, oh, I don't know what's happening. Like, oh, what do you think about this? And then, but secretly he knew who the killer was all along, and he was just like lulling them into a false sense of security. They're like Columbo if he didn't know who the secret killer was all along. They're just kind of like, so if you did that, if Ricky was in the diary room for 2 minutes, then Joey says that he's not the killer. Power. So I think that Candy has it.
And I like to, when they're like, Ricky came out of the diary room so fast, he was looking for people, like, to try and use it. And Big Brother's like, stop using production as a strategy. Like, in the middle of their murder mystery, it's just like, stop using production as a strategy.
Cato's questioning Candy. He's like, so Candy, do you have power? Candy's getting very upset. She's like, why are you, I already told you, like, she is not having no murder mystery fun for Candy. She does not appreciate the questioning.
It is, okay, this is a tangent. Candy in this reminds me of, I played Clue once with friends. I knew the answer. I was the only one who knew the answer. And I was just trying to get across the house to the conservatory or whatever. But someone else was close to the answer. So he just started accusing me in rooms as far away from where I wanted to go as possible until he won the game because I couldn't get there. And I was so mad and emotional over a stupid game of Clue. And that is how Candy is reacting. She's so upset. She is done with this. And much like I've never played Clue since, she does not want to play murder mystery.
And this upsets Ricky out of nowhere. And Ricky just comes
he's
in.
Pissed.
And he's like, why is everyone freaking out so much? This is just a game. I don't understand. Oh, it's just calm down. None of this matters. I'm Steve Moses, and I'm trying to tell you that we're just playing a dumb game in a parking lot, only not using those words, and also saying it in a way that makes it seem like I'm really pressed right now, even though I'm telling you not to be pressed. That's what's going on. I'm just trying to say it, and I'm sorry if I'm saying it in a weird way, but it's just the way that things are.
Yeah, Ricky comes in with a look of warm understanding, and he's like, this is some bitch stuff. This is just a game. Why are people so upset? It's like, Ricky, the Gemini popped out, okay, guys?
And then Candy's like, I hear what you're saying, and I agree. And you aren't saying it in a bad way. It's just that I feel the way that I do, and I can't not feel that way. And he's like, I'm not trying to make you not feel that way, but we're just playing a game, and we should just be chilling out. She's like, I'm trying to chill out. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do.
I feel like it's just so reminiscent of, like, just like, give like a super toxic relationship. And it's like one person has really upset the other person, and they're like, no, I didn't try to make you mad. Like, this wasn't my intention. And the other person's like, but I still, like, my feelings matter and my feelings are real and you need to respect that. And he's like, no, look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. But, like, it's just a game. And, like they still, neither of them would admit that they're wrong. Like, Ricky is still going to be like, yeah, but it's just a game. Like, that's not what I meant to do. But, like, it's just a game. It's like he's apologizing for making her feel some sort of way rather than his actions, which is, like, the least genuine thing you can do. And it's just... it's so, like, when Ricky is good, he is really good, and he can get in your head, and he uses his, like, guru thing, and it works. But when Ricky does poorly, it is horrible.
I think what it is, I think that Ricky has, like, a lot of emotional intelligence. I think that he really understands people. He, like, understands what makes people tick. And like, when he has the patience, he is able to use that intelligence to talk to people, to get down to the deep layers of, like, their hidden motivations, and, like, have these conversations with people. And he knows how to manipulate people well. but he has a very short fuse. He does not have a lot of patience. And so that combination is very strange because usually it requires patience to gain that emotional intelligence in the first place, but he has it with no patience. So like, he's correct in that, like, hey, let's calm down. Like his message, the fundamental part of his message is like, is good. And he is like, hey, let's like calm down. It's just a game. We don't need to get upset about things. I'm just trying to help and heal. But the way that he does it, because he has no patience, is just like, stop. This is wrong. You're doing it wrong. I know the right way. Do it right.
Well, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter today, like, Ricky never moved out of the frat house. Like, he needs to smoke some weed to like function. And it's like, it could be true. Maybe he has more patience when he's high.
Who knows?
It's possible. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know him. So
yeah, it's a lot of people have been saying that, like, oh, you know, he's got like withdrawals. It's not my area of expertise, unfortunately.
No, you don't get withdrawal from smoking weed. Weed is not a physical dependency. Weed is like, you really enjoy the feeling that it gives you.
Does it make you cranky if you're used to being high all the time and then you're not?
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm not like a big like pot guy.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Like, I would say like maybe 8 years ago, I would like smoke a joint and watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. But I would never got further than that. Like, I don't really like it that much. But I know like big potheads, like Canada loves pot. It is a thing.
I'm seeing people in the chat say, yes, you do get cranky. There are some mental withdrawals.
Yeah, like I feel like if you're used to doing anything and then you don't do it, you're going to feel cranky. Like it's not like a physical, like it's not like heroin where you're going to start puking and could die. Like, yeah, you'll be fine, but like, yeah, there's going to be some impacts.
Because that does make sense to me. I just didn't want to speak of something I didn't know about, but it would make sense to me if like, normally he has more patience, but he's a little cranky because he doesn't have something that he normally uses to sort of chill. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me in analyzing Ricky's personality.
Think about it. Like, you probably work out, what, like 5 or 6 days a week, and you get endorphins and it makes you happy and it's part of your routine. And if your routine gets disrupted and it's like, maybe you don't get to, like, you miss leg day or something, like Joey's missed a lot of leg days. Then it disrupts your routine and you kind of get a little cranky. Like, people really are creatures of habit and they don't like things that disrupt their routine. And their routine is already completely out of whack because they're in the Big Brother house suffering like extreme trauma 24 hours a day. And he doesn't have the crutch that he normally uses to like chill out. It makes sense.
There you go. So that's happening with Ricky. And we're going to get a final conversation, or at least a somewhat final conversation toward the end of the day with Tom and Kato, where Tom is like, all right, we're set on Tamar. You know what, though? Screw it. I don't think Ricky has the power. Basically, the hesitation was the power, that Ricky might have the power, that Tamar might have the power. The power is preventing him from making the move. However, over the course of the night, he started to become more and more convinced that Ricky did not have the power. And I think that he's feeling a little more confident about that. He's like, you know what? Just okay. We're going to this might be a terrible move, but I think whether or not he has the power, he probably doesn't. I don't think he does. We're just going to put him on the block. And then it'll be fine. We're going to backdoor Ricky. We're doing it.
Well, and I like he still phrases it like a little bit tentatively with Kato, where he's like, well, but like if he has the power, but like if he doesn't, we can just pretend we thought he had the power.
Yeah.
Just because you can't really be fully straight up about lying to Kato because he's not good with it. He has problems with it and he'll be like, whoa, but like, you're not honoring an agreement. It bothers him. And Tom's like, I'm going to put him up. I'm going to say, I'm putting up the person that I think has the power. If you don't have the power, I'm so sorry. And this is probably the stupidest move that I could ever make. But Ricky, I'm putting you on the block. And they have this conversation at least 7,000 times.
Yes. So
at least
Kato is on board with this plan. They're going to backdoor Ricky. They don't want to necessarily tell the women yet. Maybe wait till after the veto is played because they have the votes anyway. And one of the ideas was that Tom would just put Ricky on the block and then be like, and we'll see who's loyal looking straight at the women when it comes to the votes. Like, that would work.
Well, like, again, that this is Tom's big thing, is that he thinks that if you say something to someone's face, that you're going to get like a definite read, a definite tell, and you can really figure things out. And they go back and forth on if they should tell the woman before or after the veto so many times. And I assume that this is a little bit after seeing how the woman reacted to Jonathan and Ryan not consulting them for the first eviction. Like, so maybe they're like a little bit shy about that now because they don't want to get into the same kind of situation. But they're also just like supremely cocky, where Tom's like, well, when Cato wins HOH next week, because yes, they're just going to trade HOHs. That's what's happening. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, we probably should talk to Natalie and Lolo first. Cato's like, should I talk to them without you maybe? And Tom's like, no, definitely not. And then he leaves, and then Cato goes and he talks to Lolo, and he's like, hey, Lolo, we've got something to tell you. Lola's like, oh my God, not tonight.
That's how we feel right now, where we're like, no, please, no.
So Lolo and Natalie go and talk with Ricky again, and they're just like, they're done. They're basically done at this point. And they're like, Ricky, I mean, they're talking about backdooring people. Like, this is no good. We need to be careful of Tom and Cato. This is dangerous territory here. And Ricky is basically almost entirely caught up at this point to the fact that Tom is considering backdooring. Tom is suspicious that you have the power, and you know he's been talking about some things. He hasn't even asked me if I have the power. He's just done some really passive aggressive. If it was somebody that I knew, if it was somebody in this room, I'd be real pissed.
And I also, the other narrative through this whole day is Ricky being like, it doesn't matter about the power. It expires. Who cares?
Ricky's just like, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Ricky, correctly pointing out, we have the majority. None of this matters. The problem is, again, Ricky's trying to dissuade them about like the importance of the power. Tom doesn't care about the power. Tom cares about Ricky. That's why it's not working to say who cares about the power.
Well, and if anything, I think Ricky should really be pushing, like, we need to be worried about the power, because everyone is very convinced that Tamar has it at this point. So that kind of shifts it off of him. Like, he correctly identifies that Tom is worried about him because he's been told, and there's all these indicators, and like, he's not an idiot. So I think he should be pushing, like, yeah, we need to really flush this power, just get it out of the way, like, deal with it, like, put Tamar up, waste the power, and then we can get rid of, like, Joey or Candy, it's fine. But what he's doing is that he's being like, who cares about the power? It expires anyways. And that, I think, kind of, even if it's not outwardly convincing Tom, will kind of flip a switch in the back of his head, like, yeah, who cares about the power? Let's just get rid of Ricky.
Yeah, the power is the one thing keeping Ricky from potentially leaving the house this week.
Exactly.
So again, like, you got to be careful of the power talk here. So we get that's basically the end of the day. A lot of people are asking, you know, what is the best move for Tom? Isn't the best move to actually flesh out the power? And it's so hard to try to analyze what the best move for these people is, because they're so bad. And it's like, the best move would have been like travel back in time a couple days. Yeah. But okay, we're here where we are. And then, also it's like, okay, best move from this point forward would be to stop being Tom. So that's not going to happen. Okay. Tom is being Tom. He's making terrible decisions according to the fact that he's not going to change who he is. How does he make the right call here? That's so hard.
Yeah, well, and it's at this point, I think, with everything that he has said about Ricky and how much he's been talking, he has to go through with it and get rid of Ricky. He has to, because leaving Ricky in the house armed with this knowledge and his like skill with people, you have to get rid of him now, because otherwise it's just too much of a risk.
Yeah.
And it's like, this was not the right move heading into the week. But as you said, like, they can't go back in time.
Yeah.
They can't just stop being themselves.
And the problem is that, like, he plans on using the power as an excuse, which is just going to backfire, because Ricky does not have the power. So it's like, he's going to be like, oh, I put Ricky on the block because I think you have the power. And then it's like, I don't have the power, dude. I'm still on the block. I'm up for eviction. And then the women are particularly going to be like, see, we should have trusted Ricky. Now we need to save him. And then they might feel like they're a little bit, you know, strong-armed into saving Ricky, which they shouldn't. But, you know, then they have to work with all the people they just nominated.
But I feel like Tom has done a good enough job convincing Cato to be worried about Ricky that he might actually be able to get his way because of how intractable Cato is.
It's true.
And Cato and Dina do have like a good relationship. So
it should
be okay, but it's going to be a total disaster after this eviction.
It's possible. I think there's a very good chance that if Tom, especially if they don't warn Natalie and Lolo first, if they put up Ricky saying, hey, it's because we think Ricky has the power, and then Ricky doesn't have the power. And then so then Natalie and Lolo are like, you not only did you go rogue and put Ricky on the block, but you thought you did it for wrong reasons. He doesn't have the power. We should have trusted him. And I think that Cato would feel a little bit embarrassed. And I think that he really wants to work with the women. And I think that they would be able to be like, hey, Cato, this is no good. We need to stick to the five. We need to be loyal. We're loyal people, aren't we? Like, we're not liars. I think it's a tricky spot here. It really is.
Well, and I don't know if it's a benefit or not that they have a little bit more time for this eviction than the last one. Like, it's like, on the one hand, maybe it could be more time to really get Cato on board and to get things going. Or is it too much time and it's going to flip back and really screw over Tom and Cato?
Yeah. So it's really, it's a tough situation. Tom has really backed himself into a corner here for the benefit of everyone. And Tom even admits, like, look, I caused a lot of chaos today, and I totally get it. Like, if I go home, if I get kicked off next week because of what I did today, then hey, it'll be funny.
I also really liked Tom's, like, I feel really bad for the editor who has to try and make sense of this.
Feel bad for me, Tom, because this was a hard one.
I heard him say that and I was like, yeah, I feel bad for me and Taryn more than the editors. Like, the editors get paid a lot of money.
Yeah, and they're going to get to skip a bunch of stuff. They don't have to describe everything. They don't have to make sense of all of the things that happen. They can create a storyline from whatever they want. We have to tell you the real story. We have to tell you everything. That's much harder.
We are journalists with integrity.
Another interesting thing to point out, I did notice on Reddit, we are very much under the assumption that Tamar has the power just based on her reaction and the fact that she was definitely up there in terms of the hashtag count or what it seemed like.
And I really liked, I think it was Natalie, Lolo, and Ricky talking about how it has to be Tamar, and they're like, she was cleaning today. Since when does Tamar clean? She's acting so weird. She must have the power.
Yes. However, I did notice on Reddit, somebody did, in fact, tally up using the rtweet package, I guess. It's the way that you can count hashtags. They eliminated retweets and counted all of the hashtags. And according to their count, Joey actually won. With something like 16,000, you know, hashtags versus Tamar's 14,000, but
I would assume retweets probably count.
Yes,
though.
That's eliminating retweets, and I feel like maybe with retweets, Tamar might have taken it. It's theoretically possible, but it would be ridiculous if Joey actually had it because he spent the entire day like, I would never lie. I mean, Joey essentially doing what I do on Social Strategy Sundays of like, look, I'm staking my entire reputation. I never lie about this stuff. I do not have it.
Now, I don't want to compliment you, Taryn, but do you think Joey is as smart as you?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I like everybody knows. Anybody who watches Social Strategy Sunday knows I hate to compliment you.
What I'm saying is it would be very out of the realm of what I think is possible if Joey actually had it and has been lying the whole time.
Yeah, it is not in his range.
Some people think that Tom might have it. I don't think that's likely. According to this count, he was less than half of what Joey got. And also, he was called into the storage room briefly and he was given, I can't remember what he was given from Pop. And he was like, oh, is
they were champagne gummy bears.
Yes. And he was like, oh, is this it? I was hoping I got the power after all. And that was by himself. So I'm pretty sure he does not have the power, though it would have been pretty funny if he did.
If all of this happened and Tom had the power, I'd be like, Tom Green, I'm in love with you.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be great.
That's what we've got for you. Anything else that we need to bring? Anything that we forgot here?
Well, Tamar cooked shrimp again, which is always relevant. So we need to watch out if anyone slips and falls. And then they need to ban talking about anything in the infinity pool.
Yes.
Like, we're not talking enough about how you cannot hear a word.
It's very loud.
It's so bad.
They really have fun on it, though. They love running on the treadmill.
I cannot imagine having fun on a treadmill anywhere. That just sounds horrible.
I don't know. I feel like there's a novelty of it. Just be like, yeah, I'm running on a treadmill in water.
Yes. Well, because there's like those aquatic fitness classes where you like wear a harness and then there's no treadmill, but you like run in the water anyways. I've never done one, but I've been told they're really fun. So, okay, maybe it's fun. Anyways, they should not be allowed to talk in the pool when it's on. Just no.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed this packed live feed update. Again, just make sure you thank Tom for the help for the season. If he does, if he goes through with the backdoor Ricky plan, I think it opens the season wide up and we'll have some great play from that point on. If he's not able to backdoor Ricky this week because of the power, then at least we got a day or so of some fun maneuverings, and then he's probably going to leave very soon. But
I think
at the very least, he gave us one day of grateful wonderfulness.
We got one day. So the eviction's Friday,
Saturday.
Right? Saturday. So I feel like regardless, after Saturday, we're going to get at least a little bit of people running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And that will also be fun.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll see.
All right. So there will be an episode tonight. I imagine this is going to be the HOH plus the nominations. The power reveal happened before the nominations, so we will probably see the power reveal tonight and who got it. I assume, again, it's Tamar. And then we will be live tonight after the episode with Scotty from season 20.
Yes.
to recap the episode.
I love Scotty. I'm excited for that one.
There you go. And I will, of course, be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the live feeds. Thank you for joining us. You can follow me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaren. You can follow Kirsten at Kirsten Said What.
Yes.
And see you next time.
Bye, guys.